trenches. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to From the Trenches, real life in the accounting industry. We're brought to you by our friends at BGL, Australia's number one superannuation and corporate compliance software, and great supporters of the show and everything we stand for. I might have a chat about some BGL stuff this week, Paul. I'm David Boyer from Sequel CFO, joined here with me old mate, Paul Meisner, Five Ways Group. Paul, action-packed show this week.
Thank you very much, David. Hello, listeners. Hello, all. Plenty on, as there always seems to be. David, get us kicked off. Best on ground.
This
lot
week.
To get through. We always forget. Special topic this week, in-depth topic at the, not the end of the show, but you can, if you're looking for the special topic this week, how to stay focused, David. We have each got a lot of different varying things on our plate, and as we talk to other accountants, we've got three tips each on how we try to stay focused and concentrating on our businesses in these difficult times with lots of content. Anyway, so that's coming up in our in-depth topic. After best and worst on ground.
Can't wait. Best on ground. Paul?
Oh, go.
Startups. Oh. Now, we've had our... we're curiously questioning the merit of startup. Not the merit, but we think there's a whole lot of hype around it and a whole lot of BS and a whole lot of nonsense, and they
never
like to drink their own bathwater. And I think that might still be the case. But a couple of things happened last week that I wanted to share with our dear listeners. The first is Deputy, a huge zero add-on payroll rostering. I don't think the payroll add-on of the year just raised the second biggest, the biggest ever Series B funding in Australian startup history. I don't know how many series it runs through, Paul. I think you can probably do a Series Z, but the founder's probably got no equity by that stage. B seems to be quite major.
There's some add-ons in the marketplace that, I think are on their ninth round, some of them, including Friends, Families and Fools.
Friends, Families and Fools.
That's the early round. That's the pre-seed.
Believers is the optimistic view of that. Anyway, look, Deputy's done a brilliant job. It's great, and it's a great product. We use it with some clients. Great to see that happen, but it exposed me to the startup world a little bit. And last week, I got my biggest exposure to startups yet. I was a guest panelist / judge at Launch Vic Victoria's.
You've made it. That's what being made is, isn't it? And startup judge.
It's run by Catapult, a startup incubator, and it was sort of a, they call it a, I think like a goldfish pond glasshouse. See, because it's got this funny language that startups use. They could just call it a pitch night, but I think it's called like a...
a goldfish?
No, it's called like a... It is. It's called like a... I'll have to Google it because I can't remember. And this is... I'm going to get to this. This is part of the problem with startups. There's just like usual business words, but they use their own different language that just makes it more complicated. But anyway, I got to judge it, and I must say I kind of get it. So there is... I kind of get why people do it, but what blew me away is, Paul, the average age of the audience...
Right.
Over 40. Easily.
Really?
Easily. 30% probably have existing businesses and are looking to do something startup-y.
Side hustle, as my old mate Gary V used to say.
Oh, yeah, your mate, Gary V, yeah.
He spoke
to you directly, surrounded by 5,000 other people, didn't he?
Yeah. Had a connection.
So here's what I kind of get. What they're doing is they're really saying... here's a problem and here's a tech solution for it that I think could be really good. These are people who are unbelievably passionate, or they're not, and you can tell in the pictures, the passionate ones get the attention, like without doubt. The non-passionate ones, you just, you know, if you can't get me to believe in you, don't worry. Really interesting. So LaunchVic is Victoria's government-funded program. It was disappointing to see how few startups still couldn't give a good pitch, but... when I gave that feedback after, I said, yeah, but you've got to understand people are at different stages of their journey, and a lot of them are just technicians who are forced into this business thing. And I thought, well, maybe business ownership isn't for you then.
Like, any solutions looking for problems, David?
A couple of ones I really, really liked, which we're not going to get into on the show, but hit me up if you want to have a chat about them. Some really big problems that were getting solved, which I liked. But, Paul, I think I kind of get stars a bit more, and here's something in particular. So... Smart Company have this article on Inside the Deputy fundraising and how they got their money, because they got their money from It's $81 million. Square Peg had put money into it. Paul Bassett, founder of Seek, one of the more, I guess, well-respected VCs in Australia. And really what Paul talks about is, fundamentally, these are good guys who are very passionate about their product, have got a great culture in their business, and then we looked at the numbers. And what I like about this is this is a good lesson. Basically, it had all the elements of what any business has to be considered good. Whether you read Seth Godin, whether you read Peter Drucker, whoever the leader is, that, you know, Jim Collins, it ticks the boxes of what a good business is. But, and whilst financials matter, they're not the thing that drives it. But financials are still in that. And I like that mix of assessing a business, right? It's not just about this is a $20 trillion part of the economy and we're going to take 1% and you're going to be rich. And honestly, mate, people still pitch like that. There were pitches like that. I couldn't believe it. But I think it's a good... I've dipped my toe into startups, Paul. I don't know how much time I'll spend there, but really interesting experience. Really grateful for the opportunity that Catapult gave me and LaunchFit gave me to do it. And congratulations to the team at Deputy.
Absolutely, congratulations. I think we celebrate these sort of raises too early, personally. Like, I think it's what gets the hype. It's what, clearly it's what they do with it. I mean, I would question what the total available market is realistically and whether or not you can ever make that kind of money. Some of these, and Deputy might have, certainly once you get to a certain threshold, it's probably the smaller ones that just can honestly never make that money back unless they sell out, list, or otherwise. It not so much in this size, credit to them, but in the add-on market at the moment, it's a house of cards, David. And if the musical chairs of funding stops, if somehow it dries up, ouch. Well,
what I like about Deputy, and Paul Bassett said this, so the size of their market, there are 2.2 billion hourly paid workers globally. That's the market. Now, I've been to India, so I imagine a fair few of them come out of India. None of them are jumping on Deputy anytime soon, mate. They are still administering that country. Well, big chunks of it, like the Brits are still in control in the 30s or whatever they were there.
There's certainly money being thrown
bored
around.
Out of this topic, what Absolutely. Else have I got? What are the best songs? Oh, mate, Microsoft has done a rebrand. So last week we said that this is such a good extension from last week's show where we said that the next thing we want to see in technology is user experience, right? Last week we had Xero changing its layout and its functionality, not functionality, the layout and how you navigate Xero, its navigation bands. Microsoft have a new rebrand. They changed their icons and changing a little bit inside the product, but mostly the icons for, you know, the Microsoft products are being rebranded. For all of the hype about all these other tech add-ons, Microsoft Office is used on 1 billion machines globally, right? And if a typical accountant is on the cloud, most firms are probably going to be using Microsoft and Xero. So with these new logos and new icons, this fundamentally changes the way your computer looks when you open up your screen and log on. So it actually really does change your user experience. I think it's really interesting because, we've said that user experience is becoming really important. But there's a quote, you'll make your own choice on whether you like the logo or not. One thing very interesting that I didn't notice before, the XL logo, did you know that there's a little L hidden in the logo? It's still there. You can have a look. Yeah.
Anyway, right.
I think it's really interesting that you've got new branding from Microsoft, Paul.
Microsoft have hit the largest company, the richest company in the world. By stock market capitalization. Quietly, snuck up, Stephen Bradbury style, and just Apple lost a bit, and then Microsoft on top of the most valuable, and nobody would have got that if you had gone 10 years ago. You know, everyone was sort of saying, "Oh, they're gone." You know, it's amazing how they jumped to the cloud and how they made that work.
Just a quote here about user experience, Paul. People fall in love with products when they care about how they feel when using it. Yeah. Warms the cockles of my heart. What do you got? Best on ground.
All right. What have I got? Xero. Xero have hit 1 million subscribers. Golf club. Lovely. In Australia and New Zealand. So good. Hey, look, it's certainly fresh off there. Trent and Tim's Twitter war hit an AFR article, I think, today. So it is good to see that. Congratulations. That is a big is a big milestone.
Are you a shareholder in Xero? Should we declare that? Are you?
I'm not. I am.
Oh, I probably shouldn't have asked that.
It's all right. No, you don't have to. It's not like you're not on the payroll.
Yeah, good point.
Can own shares. Anyway, that was anyway. Congratulations. A big shout out to them. Secondly, a LinkedIn post about tips in Excel. This just made my day.
Literally made your day.
There was a photo on Twitter that you put. Yeah. Looked like a crazed man. Anyway, my two favourites.
That's how you looked.
My two favourites were on a Mac, Command Option Spacebar and Option Shift Spacebar, either highlighted the whole row or the whole column. There was also a shortcut for inserting dates, inserting times, and drop down filling of an auto sum, which I swear I use almost every time I get into Excel. Check that out. Excel, isn't it just the best product in the world?
Yes, Paul.
I love it.
It clearly is.
I love it.
Still the best BI tool in the world. It's still the best number cruncher. It's still the best to-do list. It's still the best list of family and loved ones' birthdays that I need to remember.
Just,
all the
just
many uses
everything.
That people have.
Just does everything. Does everything. Anyway, kudos, Excel. Right. Worst on ground. You had a couple of others.
Is that it for best for you?
That was it for best.
All right.
Pretty sure. You had another one? Anyway, no, that's fine. Right. Worst on ground. Let's keep it rolling.
No, I do have another best on ground. Now, we're sponsored by BGL, listeners, and as part of that, we like to talk about what they're up to, but Ron Leash, the founder of BGL, has come out and gone bang with a big media release this week, and this is why we like partnering with BGL, not afraid to stand up to nonsense that's in the industry. Ron's come out and criticised Money in Retirement More Than Enough report by the Grattan Institute. I didn't put this in the sheet, mate, so I'm sorry, and I've caught you a bit off guard. And the Grattan Institute basically is essentially saying that there's a lot of wealth accumulated in super funds and potentially maybe too much. And Ron's come out and said, reading the report, you get the idea Australians are not allowed to accumulate wealth. This report is jaundice from start to end. That is strong opinion-led leadership from Ron. I love it because I think we have a problem with tall poppy syndrome in Australia. We don't celebrate business leaders as well as the Americans do.
Unless you raise money and then we celebrate the hell out of it.
Oh, we celebrate the raising of the money. The profit, though, we've got a problem with the profit that follows.
Yeah.
He said, Grattan Institute just don't get it. They seem to want everyone to be poor in retirement, relying on government handouts. And the reason this is so, this fits, Paul. BGL have a product that helps people in retirement, particularly the superannuation product. But Ron lives and breathes this stuff. Applaud your leadership, Ron. Keep it up, mate. We love working with
we'll
you.
We'll get him on the show in a couple of weeks. I think he's been travelling, but he will be back on the show. David, let's roll into worst on ground. Couple for me this week. Sharon, friend of the show. Everyone's a friend of the show. I love that. Sharon McClafferty. I think I got that right.
Slipstream Consulting.
Slipstream Consulting. She put a sort of a slightly blurred out image on Twitter last week, about there were three sort of relatively decent size accounting conferences that all had a brochure, and each of the brochures, as it does, has photos of the 5 to 10 keynote speakers. She highlighted that there may have been an issue with it. Now, she did blur out the name, so we're not going to say which conferences they are. If you follow the Twitter thread, you'll work it out. But we're not going to say. How many women, David, do you think, in an industry that's, granted, small public practice is not 50-50 men, women, but certainly how many women do you think were listed on a brochure as a keynote, or just as a speaker?
Out of how many people on the brochures?
Let's call it 20.
Oh, surely one, Paul. Surely they found one.
Not one.
No.
Three different conferences. There was some diversity of colour, but not a whole lot. And absolutely not one female. In this day and age, David, and that's three examples of pretty big conferences that have just been in the last sort of month or so. That's appalling. Like, that is really appalling.
It is. And this isn't really a call for gender equality and it must be 50-50, but surely there's one who's capable. And the funny thing is, I know at some of these conferences, women are speaking. They just haven't made it to the top lineup, to the top of the bill, Paul.
Some of them didn't make it to their panel, but that's another matter.
The other thing that's very interesting, and Sharon, if you're listening, I want to give you a pat on the back, because we've spoken on the show about, are we capable of quality online debate? And you did a great job here of playing the issue, not the man. You whited out the companies in question. I think you even whited out the names on the picture that you put up there. And that's really important, because that means we get to talk about this issue of, you know, because sitting on a panel is a sign of leadership. And people, it doesn't mean that it's just because you're on the panel, this is Andrew Vanderbeek's line, you know, it doesn't mean I know what I'm doing. I've still got problems. But, hey, I've got a mic, so I'm going to tell you my story. But it is important to have at least another point of view, surely, just one.
It was...
So well done for playing the issue and not the man, Sharon.
Yeah, it's very good. And it was a very...
I get it, playing the man.
What?
Am I not allowed to say that?
I don't know. Playing the person.
Playing the non-binary human.
And the thing, look, there was some defence, mostly from men, interestingly enough, on the thread, say, oh, you know, it's never going to be 50. This was just not one day. Like not one on the brochure. Like, somebody who was running one of these conferences said, oh, we're 50-50 in our panel representation, or we're, you know, I can't remember what the other stats were. But no one made it on the brochure. Like, this is just... I think it shows the unconscious bias. It might not be, you know, as deliberate, but it just shows there's an unconscious bias. Sharon was absolutely not calling for 50-50. No one was saying this was, you know, we're arguing about, you know, about grey area. This is black and white. There was not one on the brochure. Like, that is abominable. Anyway, it was good to have a good online debate about it, and hopefully... Some of the conferences, I think one of the conferences said that would be fixed next year. So we've marked it in the diary. We'll have a look. We'll have a look at that. My second worst on ground, David. So we all know that the AETO scammers are back, threatening phone calls related to being arrested over a tax debt. I've had heaps of my clients call me. You got another call.
I got one this morning. I don't know, like, hey, scammers, if you're listening, drop the American accents. It's a dead giveaway.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. Anyway, the thing with this, though, so I became involved in one, David, yesterday. So I was getting phone calls from random people through my Skype number. It appears somehow that these scammers had been ghosting on my Skype number, and... My Australian Skype number, so my 0390 whatever number, was what they were using. So when people called the missed call back, they came through to my Skype number, which very rarely rings. Like, I sort of keep it for special occasions or when I divert my phone. But anyway, so my phone number was being implicated in these tax scams. So understandably, I felt quite, you know, a little bit concerned. Did some digging, David, and here's the sort of the takeaway for people is, so the federal, the AFP have a website all about crime and cybersecurity, and you can report a scam. So I chose to report myself. I don't know how that worked. In case anyone complained about my number being used, I wanted to flag the fact that I was an unwilling participant in this. And I also sent through to report an email scam with the ATO because it was ATO related. So, interestingly, two things I never had to do there. So there is a great online system. I think it's Acorn or Acron or something, which is the AFP report site, which is free to use. It logs a complaint or it logs a scam. And also the ATO are listening and want to hear about these things as well. Has it happened to you? If it happens, let us know.
Yes.
Because that was scary for me.
Call the authorities. A bit of identity theft.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was a ghost. I didn't think they could ghost on my number, but anyway, apparently they can.
You should probably change your Skype password, mate.
Well, no, it wasn't. It was just the public number.
They're using the number. Oh,
well, no, they'd logged in.
Now, all right.
Anyway.
Worst on ground for me. Is that it for you?
That's it, mate.
All right, worst on ground for me. I am very big on future of work and accountants, particularly accountants in industry, needing to learn a little bit more data analytics skills and being able to master Excel and the tech that they've already got to add more value and do what you currently do quicker. It's part forms part of the training course in SQL CFO, so I'm very well aware of it. I'm also very astute to their costs, Paul. CA are running a training program that I think is great, leveraging data through Power Pivot, Power Query workshops. Power Pivot and Power Query are two great tools that you can learn to drastically reduce the amount of time it takes for you to sort through data in Excel and create insightful dashboards. If you learn this stuff, it also reduces your reliance on very expensive add-ons in the reporting space. This is another option if you're spending too much money there and if you're just a bit of a nerd like me and you like deep diving into stuff. CA is running the course, which is great. The learning outcomes are bang on. I 100% think that the people need to start learning this stuff. The problem is, Paul, it's $2,970 for 19 and a half hours in a group workshop setting. That's $150 an hour, $152 an hour to sit in a group workshop. Now, the course is being run by some products who are brilliant Excel trainers. Like, they are really, really, they're excellent. But you can spend $15 on Udemy and have the discipline yourself to learn this stuff in your room. And it may not be as high quality learning as what you're going to get from the Sum product team. But this is just way too expensive. And this for such a what I think is a critical skill, the cost of the training can become a barrier for people getting ready for what I think the future work's going to look like for finance people.
Yeah, CA really struggled, I think, in their education offering. They had an education team, now they don't. It's this outsourced or, you know, and the price, you'll see the prices vary wildly, you know, between people who have, you know, nothing else to sell. You know, there's no upsell, so there's no discount in the training, whereas there's other ones that are basically free because it's just all lead gen, like they're going to sell from the stage. So, look, it's really interesting, and I think the market for training, I just had a conversation with a sales call with the Television Education Network, I think, who train tax trainers for accountants and lawyers.
Cool.
And I think the value for money discussion back for training is really difficult now that so much is available online. So it's interesting, but that certainly did look a little bit high.
Indeed. Next, but good on you for getting a topic that's actually important, guys.
Yes, exactly. Excel tips and tricks.
Yeah, that's right. Next worst on ground for me, this is the first week I've had more than you. Paul, this another scam potentially in the works for you. You've been paraphrased and reused without your permission.
Oh, have I?
By your best mates at Accountants Daily, running with a headline that I could have sworn is from the mouth of Paul Meisner. Stop the fear-mongering around STP, says software providers. You're the king of using fear-mongering to describe the state of the industry, Paul.
They changed it from scare to fear,
you've used fear-mongering. True. I think it's even on the From the Trenches homepage we use the word fear-mongering. You've made it mainstream as Accountants Daily is. Your message is being received, Paul.
Oh, well, I'll try. I give it a... And it actually came out of Sam Allett from Reckon, talking about the fear campaign. Given, I think he's written some articles too about the death of compliance, but, you know, anyway, he's, yes. Look, STP is going to be really interesting. I think whether or not this ever gets through is going to be really, really interesting.
The really fascinating thing about STP for me is it's a massive change that is really reliant on software partners. That is a real sign of the digital age that we're in, isn't it? That a government can't just create legislation. They need to create the supply chain to support that change as well. We had ATO publish today as well a list of low-cost STP compliance software providers. So
it was just a list of people who had put their name up. We're still seeing no details. Yeah.
But that's right, but they're at least recognising the role that they play in helping people do this. On the back of House of Lords, knocking back Making Tax Digital last week, one of the big problems was there aren't cheap or free software add-ons, software solutions. That integration between software to comply with legislation, really interesting space. Really interesting.
They had to fall over themselves, the software providers on the panel, not to just be, rubbing their hands together going,
free leads.
The ATO is just rounding everyone up. You know, like it's sort of, they've got to walk that fine line between threatening people into getting it. And
hey, the software providers could offer the ATO a 20% rebate on any licenses sold. Oh. You know, the ATO can get
a referral fee.
Well, I know some accounting firms who make more money off rebates than they do off accounting services. Maybe the tax office could have a new...
Interesting.
That'd be fun to see in next year's budget.
Interesting.
Software commissions.
I think STP, not that we want to focus on STP, but the interesting thing for me is people out there talking about STP, oh, well, it'll improve compliance for small business.
No, it won't.
Like, you're talking about the high-profile cases, the law firm...
Yeah.
That, you know, they have some of the most, you know, digitized and whatever payroll systems.
With
and
smart people running them.
With exceptionally smart legal minds who probably have helped fight, you know, previous instances of Fair Work, can't even get it right. Just because you put in insert colour software here, STP-enabled software does not mean that payroll becomes instantly easy. David, That was it?
I think that's it, yeah.
Right. In-depth topic.
You and I are curious people, passionate people, and that leads us sometimes astray from our core purpose. Last week's show, we gave a bit of a tease and we said we might be running an end-of-year event for From the Trenches listeners. We've shelved it. We've canned it. It's not happening. It's not happening because Paul and I were a lot of things to a lot of people, but great event organisers... and marketers of email. We're not the Trent McLaren, Wayne Schmidt, absolute geniuses at getting people to events. And so we decided to pull the plug because we didn't think we could do it to a very high standard. And it begs the question of how do you stay focused on what you're supposed to be doing, especially in December where you're getting into the silly period and Australians like to check out early, Paul, from their core thing.
Absolutely.
So we're going to talk through three things that you do and I do to help us keep focused and a bit of how we came to that decision to pull it.
You say that as I'm not focused at all on you. Sorry, I'm just checking out my phone. That might be one of the tips, I think. Look, absolutely. I think there is so much information, so much content, and so many opportunities now and new shiny things. David, what are your three tips for staying focused?
The first one, know your true north. Now, this can be rebranded as a whole lot of different things. Simon Sinek.
Deep.
You can stay up late at night watching TED Talks other than mine. Got that into conversation again. Your why and your passion. But to me, it's know your true north, which is know where you're going. In SQL, we are absolutely ironclad on where we're going. Everyone knows that I've spent so much time thinking about it that I'm now in a position where I can articulate it really clearly to people. Sometimes not quickly, but... very, very clearly, which means that when something comes along that doesn't fit, it's kind of easy to filter it out and say no. And you do get to a stage of business, Paul, where opportunity starts coming to you. And this is one of those situations. So I think knowing your true north, I'm not going to explain how to find that out. You can Google that. There's people who are much, probably more experts than we are on that, Paul. But you have to know that. And then you can say, right, what's in the blinkers? What's outside the blinkers? And you got this big, you know, big filtration ability. What about you?
My one, so I'm making extra notes for my points. Look, I think very similar to you, David, is that understand what drives your business success and drives your profit and what you're good at and what you're geared for. So, for instance, I had a referral come across my desk. It was not in my preferred software, which... wasn't a problem, but because we've spoken about this on the show, whether or not you can be all one or the other, it would have been a big fee. It wasn't geographically located near me, and it was in a package that I was, you know, not unfamiliar, but my systems weren't geared up for. I already had...
It wasn't zero.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say that, but yet. but look, it was funny because... But also at a time where I have got a lot of big leads already that are more geographically and software aligned to the profit of my business. So this is, look, quite similar to you, David, is that just understand where the opportunity is and what drives your business and what you're good at and focus your energy there rather than trying to do everything half or always going after the big deal and then forgetting the fact that you've got current clients to keep happy or current leads to sort of to nail, especially as a small firm. especially when I'm not trying to fill 10 extra seats or new staff. I don't have a lot of capacity deliberately because I find it, you know, a lot more profitable. But you've really got to be picky. But saying no to a lead is, I swear, it's one of the hardest. You sort of sit there and you honestly think, I'm never going to get another. And it came through a friend. It came through a, you know, someone who sort of had never referred me work before. It was an interesting decision, and probably one that I think a lot of people would have made differently.
Well, bravo for
we'll see.
Prioritising playing golf on Friday instead of servicing the client and making profit. But seriously, that's that's very serious. You're very open about this. Freedom accounting is about giving you the freedom to have that lifestyle and the work and potentially
a big the
client.
Profit.
But potentially a big client would impinge on profit and the lifestyle that you lead.
I already have big clients. And we spoke a little bit about this before, about you know, the number of big clients you can have. And I certainly do need to filter out a lower part. But anyway, it was interesting. We will see. What's your second?
Have mentors. I can't really overstate this enough. I've got one mentor that's been with me since the start of my franchising journey, Karina Vukic, who's unbelievable, just passionate, believes in me, gives me very straight advice, understands me. She's coming over for dinner next week for the first time to meet little Ellie.
Oh, lovely.
Because she was along on that whole journey as well. And I've got mentors who come and go. Wayne Schmidt's a current mentor of mine, helping me bridge a skill gap that I've seen in myself, which is that real sales process and understanding that sales is a process and how to run that. And I've got mentors from outside the industry as well. And they're the ones who seem to be best at telling me what's in and what's out. You're spending too much time on this. You know, somebody said to me, Dave, it looks like you're traveling a lot. You're going to all these conferences. Is the balance right? And, you know, I reflect on it. We went through a lot, you know, a week at Wacoa, and it takes you away from the business. Maybe there was some merit in that. So get mentors, and also go research how to manage a mentor relationship. Don't mess it up. It's a huge opportunity when you get a mentor, but it's on you to make it work.
It is. So I'm making more notes.
I'm not doing my
normal trick of
reading
Twitter and doing my phone.
Very respectful conversation.
It's really interesting. I've never really had mentors. It's funny. I've learnt off a lot of different people, but I've sort of never had that one.
But a mentor can come and go. Like it's not necessarily that structured. Every month or every quarter we catch up. That's a type. But it can be somebody who you call up and you just say, "What do you think?"
Fair enough. I suppose I've got other business. I wouldn't call them. We do.
Yeah, no.
And I have sort of, I'm probably more those informal relationships. But it's interesting. I've never had a formal mentor. For me, and this is a little bit, my second point is a little bit similar to my first point, but it's valuing your time and your effort. I think especially in professional services, we can do a lot of things or take a lot of things that make you busy rather than profitable/rewarding, you know, sort of what is the use of your time. And I think certainly having my own business, but also being a parent, David, which you agree is, you know, is a big shift.
Hell yes.
It certainly changes that, your priorities in terms of how you value your time. You know, you don't necessarily have that badge of honour where you can work 80 hours a week and sort of the like the duck legs is sort of like you're just working to be busy rather than to be profitable or what's important. The thing for me, and again, this cropped up in another, I saw it in another context as well, was that four-part quadrant, if it's important versus urgent, you know, and yeah. I think that's often, it was a couple of years ago, and
it's still popular, but we've spoken about it on the show. What is it? It's important, urgent.
It was basically whether it's important or not, and whether it's urgent or not. And so basically, but it was interesting. This one was phrased, and we've got to find out where it was. It was
Eisenhower's urgent, important principle.
There you go. So look, it is. Have a look at
Eisenhower.
It,
Eisenhower,
because often, and I do it quite a bit with, you know, certain client tasks. If I'm getting, you know, if I'm billing for it, or if it's included in the fixed fee, it becomes important.
And we've commented before that if you're using Slack or you've got lots of instant communication, it becomes harder to actually determine what's urgent and what's important. It's the nature of instantaneous messaging.
Anyway, that's what... You can value your time. I don't think we value enough time. I think we give away too much time. We, you know, I've said many, many times about accountants not pricing for those ad hoc tax ad hoc advice phone calls. You've got to get that in a fixed fee. Otherwise, you are not valuing your time. You're just going to be busy. David, your third one.
Okay, now this probably applies to me more than your typical accountant who's a bit more conservative than I am. Slow down your decision-making. I am sometimes like a magpie. I see something shiny. I see something exciting. I love new ideas.
No.
Before, I'm a very curious person. And sometimes I can waste time on the burst of energy that can happen when a new idea comes up. And that initial momentum, and I love that bit. I love getting a team together. I love that first workshop that you do on a project. And then it either peters out because I've already got, you know, 10,000 other commitments, or actually I was never going to do this. I was just interested in what could happen. So I've learned to really slow down the decision. I'll give you an example. Working with a couple of people last week about big opportunity for education in the franchise sector. Franchise sector under a lot of pressure at the moment. I think that there's a huge education opportunity in there, and I think there's a role for accountants to really help. And so I was on this call with people, and then I said, you know, we're talking about basically starting another business here. We've all got existing businesses. Are we able to get this message across just by being the best that we can be? So, you know, am I able to be a beacon of what modern franchising looks like by just running a really great franchise business myself and not starting this other business? 2 years ago, mate, we would have already registered an ABN and domain name. I would have jumped at this for sure.
Yeah.
But we just slowed down the decision-making a little bit and decided, you know what? No, this isn't part of the true north of where Sequel's going.
Yeah, and I think slowing down's interesting. And you add that actually making the harder decisions. I think it was someone, you know, everyone loves quotes, but someone who said the best decisions are often the things you say no to.
Yeah.
You know, especially, and I've always said that about clients. I like to also, on that, I always like to, in my decision-making, think about what the impact is on my, especially on my current clients. You know, I've said this on the show before, if I'm not giving the level of service, if I'm not getting back to people, if I'm not chasing down the leads, then why add more for the sake of it? Because you're not going to, there's a better... Look, it comes down to return on effort. You know, where's the return on effort? And I have a shorter term view rather than I will put up with 10 years of losses like some startups. But it needs to be, especially in professional services, a quicker return.
I just want to expand on that. If you are interested in that, slowing down decision making, I recommend a book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. It did the rounds at the top of the business reading list 5-6 years ago now, I think. It's a tough read. It's 500 pages. It's very academic in some parts, but it and I only got through the first 50 pages a couple of summers ago.
Any pictures?
I could have done with some more charts. Donald Trump, apparently, they have to present everything in a chart to him, otherwise he doesn't understand it. I'm not quite at
politics.
That level. But, check it out. Thinking Fast and Slow, Daniel Kahneman, if you're interested in slowing down.
There you go. My last one, I certainly don't do this by any means religiously, but I do know that I am more efficient and focused when I do. To-do lists, calendar blocking out time to do things like file reviews, podcasts, sales, getting back to people, working on the business, that kind of stuff. Not every minute of the day, but certainly trying to block out times for some important stuff and avoiding distractions, which really is really hard for me, especially with social media.
I've never
LinkedIn,
noticed. I haven't noticed.
Twitter. I've got my phone here.
How do you actually do that, though? Do you actually... Are you able to say, right, I'm not checking for a couple of hours?
No, because I would be in the corner. But I do... on-off. So task reward in a very simplistic way of looking at it. If I get these three things done on my thing, I'll go and read that article.
Really?
Or, yeah. So it's
wow.
sort of I yeah I will say right okay I need to get these three things, and this is why to-do lists for me help, because I have a list, I tick it off. Ironically, and my wife doesn't listen to the show. It works at home.
G'day, Mel.
And it works, but it works for our son too. It's give him a task, he'll get up, do it, no worries. I'm the same. Like at home, we have a list. It's like, just if you put it on the list, it'll get done.
Do you use any apps for your to-do list or anything, or just handwrite?
Notes. Notes on Apple. And because it syncs to all of my devices. If I've got my... So the Notes app on my laptop, on my iPad and my phone, and whether I'm on the train or on the... I could go and get an app. I could go... Look, have it on, Google Sheets or, whatever you need. You don't need necessarily a shiny app. But I really find that... A couple of fold, I prioritises, so you don't then, you can prioritise it and actually get stuff off the list. I love seeing stuff off the list. If I do a task that wasn't on the list, I put it on the list just to cross it off. Very therapeutic.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't do any of this in any, religious or deep sense, but it's good.
I rotate between OneNote, Microsoft's notes, handwritten notes, and Microsoft Excel. Depending on whatever's closest to me at the time where I think, oh, God, I've got a big day, I need to get this down.
Back of envelopes is the worst for me. I grab the back of it. I have got more stuff written on the back of envelopes that's why my notes I've really tried to manage. But the back of envelopes for me, I just don't know why, because there's all that ATO mail around.
Back of parking fines for me, man. The shiny paper, it's nice to write on. All right, that's
hope we stay focused. Did we manage to stay focused through that? Not entirely sure.
I don't know, I wasn't paying attention.
Fair enough. Have a wonderful week, Everett. Reach out if you hear us gearing up for Christmas. Sorry about the party, we couldn't get that up because that's not our game. But otherwise,
hopefully next year, we get a bit more lead time. And if anybody wants to help us out, put your hand up. We'd love to. And thanks to, we're chatting to the guys at BGL and BT as well, who are interested in helping us out with that. But
new year, hopefully, when we find some time. Apart from that, have a great week, everyone.
See you, team.
Thanks again for listening to an episode of From the Trenches. David and I love to hear from listeners, so you can reach out if you've got feedback or story ideas. Get in touch. I can be reached on Twitter at @PaulMeissner_ or on LinkedIn, Paul Meissner.
I'm on Twitter at David Boyar, BOYAR, on LinkedIn, David Boyar.
From the Trenches.